God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Revelation 14. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, for they shall rest from all their labors, and their deeds do follow them. Dear friends in Christ, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Now, those words might be a bit shocking. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord? We know from the Bible that the wages of sin is death. And no matter when it happens, where it happens, or how it happens, every one of us here today is going to die. By our sin, we have forfeited the gift of life that God gave us. So how can Jesus say, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord? And David says pretty much the same thing in Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I think it's safe to say that none of us, at least not at the gut reaction level, would think of death as either precious or blessed. We live in a culture that tries to defy and deny death in every possible way. Just check out the infomercials on TV. Hurry, while supplies last, and get your bottle of Super Cinderella age-defying beauty cream. But wait, if you'll call right now, because we can't do this deal all day, we'll also send you a free bottle of Super Nuclear Atomic Wrinkle Blasting 10,000. We spend billions of dollars creating the illusion of youth and trying to defy the process of aging, which itself was caused by sin. We're told that if we'll just follow this diet or take this health supplement, we'll add 10 years to our life. The way I look at it, why would I want to eat all of that natural food since most people die of natural causes? Halloween is about as close to death as we like to get. Fake caskets, plastic skeletons, and styrofoam tombstones. We like to pretend death is much easier to deal with than the real thing. And yet, biblically, because of sin, from the moment we're born, we begin to die. Every beat of our heart is one less beat of life on this side of eternity. Hebrews 9 says, it is appointed unto man once to die and then to face the judgment. We're also told in the Bible, in the Psalms, that it is appointed unto man 70 or even 80 years if the Lord gives him strength. And on the surface, that doesn't sound too precious or blessed to most of us. So let's dig a little deeper. Revelation 14 says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Notice the qualifier. Not just anyone is blessed when they die. Certainly not everyone is blessed when they die. The blessed dead are those who die in the Lord. Now we're getting somewhere. Psalm 116 uses the same qualifier. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Not just any dead ones, but his saints, his holy ones, those who were declared and are declared righteous simply through faith in Christ. Notice, it is the death of his saints, or those who die in the Lord, that the Lord considers to be a precious and blessed death, but not the unbeliever's death. Before we look at what's so precious and blessed about the death of God's saints, let's look at those who die without the Lord. In the same chapter, Revelation 14, our Lord says, but for the unbelieving, their place will be in the lake of fire, which is the second death, and the smoke of their torment rises up forever, and there is no rest for them day or night. Whereas the believer's last day is the best day of his life, as he or she now receives the goal of life, the salvation of their soul, the unbeliever's last day is the worst day of his or her life. Although God has accepted and forgiven everyone in Christ's death, the unbeliever rejects his or her acceptance in Christ and forfeits the forgiveness and grace that is already theirs in Jesus. And as a result, they go to a hell that is totally unnecessary. For the unbeliever, death will be the end of every comfort they ever enjoyed. In fact, those comforts were given to the unbeliever by a gracious God in the hopes of giving him or her more time to repent. But when the unbeliever dies, he or she will be compelled to say to his family, friends, honors, riches, pleasures, treasures, goodbye forever. I will never have another happy moment. My sun has set. My glass is empty. My hopes are dashed. My ship has sailed. My heart has failed. God's offers of grace are past. The day of salvation is over. I have chosen to reject my acceptance, and I have chosen to forfeit my forgiveness in Christ. For the unbeliever, death is the inlet to judgment, or the door to hell. But now let's look at what death brings to God's saints, to those who die in the Lord, who have truly trusted in Jesus and honestly confess, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Revelation 14 promises them, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. The Greek word for blessed, makaroi, means happy to the highest degree. So let's put that meaning into the verse. Happy to the highest degree are those who die in the Lord. Now why? Revelation 21 says, there will be no more suffering, mourning, crying, pain, or death in heaven, or those who die in the Lord. Dare to imagine no more harm or destruction, no more broken homes or broken marriages, no more abuse or accidents, no more rapes or robberies, no more crimes or victims, no more wars or bloodshed, no more intensive care units, hospitals, or cancer wards. Isaiah 65 pictures heaven with these words, they shall neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. Dare to imagine a place of no more death, no more miscarriages, stillbirths, abortion, infant deaths, fatal accidents, or terminal diseases. Dare to imagine never having to say goodbye again. No more morgues or morticians, no more funeral homes or graveside services, no more cemeteries or tombstones, no more. Luke 20 says, those who take part in the resurrection from the dead will be like the angels in that they can no longer die. Our loved ones who have died in the Lord are actually more alive than any of us and happier now than any of us down here on the late great planet Earth. Not only are they happy to the highest degree, but they can never die again. Which is why our text says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. When you're feasting your eyes on a sunset, a waterfall, the trees changing colors, your giggling children, your bride walking down the aisle, you are looking at the artwork of God with the eyes He gave you to enjoy them. And yet the Lord says, no eye has seen what God has prepared for those who love Him, referring to heaven. When you're listening to laughter, the whisper of a breeze, the chirping of a bird, the melody of music, you are listening to the sounds God invented with the ears God gave you to enjoy them. And yet our Lord says, no ear has heard what God God has prepared for those who love Him in heaven. When you're sinking your teeth into a delectable dessert or a mouth-watering steak and washing it down with a refreshing drink, you are tasting what God Himself created with the taste buds He gave you to savor them. And yet it is that same God who says in Isaiah, on this mountain, referring to heaven, I will prepare a feast of the finest of meats and the finest of wines. And to top it all off, He will remove the death that swallowed. When you dream your most awesome dreams, imagine your greatest adventures, remember the most pleasurable moments of your life, you are recalling the gifts God gave you with the mind He gave you to enjoy them. And yet the same Lord tells us, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him in heaven. But maybe you're wondering, how can we be so sure, Pastor? Simple. Our Savior Jesus died and rose again bodily from the dead, demonstrating decisively that death was defeated, and demonstrating decisively that His words are the truth, and demonstrating decisively that He promised that death has no hold on those who trust in Him. John 14, because I live, you will live also. In Jesus, we Christians have a blessed monopoly on the whole business of death and resurrection. Because Jesus Christ checked into His grave dead to forgive us and checked back out of His grave alive to conquer our death, death cannot hold us or those who die or any of those who die in Christ. Only Christianity has the antidote to death. No other religion in the world has this. Buddha died and he didn't rise. Confucius died and he stayed dead. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormons, died and he's quite dead to this day. Muhammad died and he's still dead. And on the list grows. But Jesus died and 3 days later he blew the hinges off of his own grave, having conquered death. The angel on Easter morning didn't roll away the stone to let Jesus out. He was already gone. The angel on Easter morning rolled away the stone to let you in on the greatest news the world has ever received. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Dr. Craig Parton, practicing attorney in California, writes, if the eyewitnesses have Jesus dead at point A, which they do, and alive again at point B, sometime after point A, which they do, then you have a risen Savior, which you do. Even if your brain can't figure out how Jesus pulled it off. Blessed or happy to the highest degree are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, for they shall rest from all their labors. Teach your children that they don't need to be afraid of death. You can tell them that God never intended death, and you can tell them that it's okay to miss, even cry, when a loved one dies. But they don't need to be afraid of death so long as they trust in their risen Savior Jesus. In Christ, death is totally and decisively defeated. And the absence of the ones that we love who have died in Christ is only a temporary absence. Death is actually now God's servant to give us heaven when God says so, and it has rendered, and Christ has rendered death a safe place for those who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from all their labors. How many of you are afraid to go to sleep at night? I suspect that if there's one thing in life we're not afraid of, it's going to sleep. Well, if you're not afraid to go to sleep at night, you don't need to be afraid when you or a loved one dies in Christ. If you're not a believer in Christ, then you should be scared to death of death. Death should scare the hell into you, which is why we live in a death-denying culture. Unbelievers don't want to face the facts of their death. But for a child of God, death is a safe place. Again, it was never intended. It's not like death itself is a good thing, but what death brings is good. they shall rest from all their labors. When a child of God dies, their body sleeps, while their soul rests in Jesus' bosom in heaven. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, for they shall rest from all their labors, and their deeds do follow them. Notice, the works of the saints follow them in death. They don't go before us. The works you have done in Jesus' name don't lead you into heaven. They follow you into heaven. Nothing you have done makes your death precious and blessed. It's only what Christ has done that makes your life and your death precious and blessed. Death has flat out been defeated by Christ, whose death has forgiven us everything that would keep us in hell and out of heaven. Christ's death and resurrection have made even death to be a safe place and a place of blessing for all who trust in Christ. The Lord's beatitudes are actually fulfilled for the saints the moment they die. Their poverty will be answered with the riches of heaven. Their mourning will be turned to joy as Jesus wipes away every tear from our eyes. Their meekness will be vindicated with sounds of victory. The world walked all over them, but now the earth is their inheritance. Their hunger and thirst for righteousness in their sin-scarred lives and hate-filled world will be completely satisfied. They are declared righteous in Jesus' righteousness. Their mercy has returned to them with dividends. They will now receive mercy. As makers of peace, they now share a name with the Prince of Peace, sons of God. The wounds of their persecutions inflicted for righteousness' sake have been healed, and they receive God's entire kingdom. And finally, with hearts purified by the blood of the Lamb, they now see God's face to face, and are not harmed at all. Dare to imagine finally seeing the face that had thorns chiseled in his brow just so you could come home. Dare to imagine touching the nail holes in Jesus' hands that unlock the gates of heaven. Dare to imagine your eyes wandering down to Jesus' side and you see the spear wound, but now it's healed, only to look back at his face and see him smile at you with resurrection. While there are many marvels, sights, and sounds to look forward to in heaven, none will compare with the sight of seeing our Savior. Psalm 16 says, "And when I see you, I will be satisfied." Nothing will compare with the sound of our Savior. For the same voice that promised you, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven," will say to you that day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." Not because of our works, but simply because we are counted good in Jesus' goodness and faithful in Jesus' faithfulness. Nothing in all of our lives will compare to the sweetness of hearing our bridegroom's voice declare, "Come, let us celebrate. For these sons and daughters of mine were lost, but are found. They were dead, but are alive." And all of Narnia will explode with celebration and feasting as Aslan, the lion, Jesus Christ, will embrace us in his arms, hold us close to his bosom, take our chin in his hands, look us straight in the eyes, and say, "My dear bride, receive the kingdom that I prepared for you before the creation of the world." They will go away to never-ending life.